Lord, take this time and by your Spirit, speak to us and make it your time. Help us, Lord, to see through the things that we're going to speak of and to understand how you were present in each of those, Lord. We know that we could easily be tempted to look at the things you do and miss you. We genuinely ask that you would give us grace to overcome that, to be able to see you through people, through things, and in our future as well as our past, that we might glorify you and walk with you further, that we might be loyal, godly, devoted sons and daughters of yours, Father. It's in the beautiful name that we pray of Jesus. Amen. Please have a seat. I sang about half that song when I realized I was way too near a microphone for me to be singing. I thought I perceived Scott wince, but he held his face straight. We believe in serving out of our gifts at Terra. Pretty sure we found what one of mine is not. At Terra, we have mapped a course. It was unexpected and fresh ground 2.5 years ago. We had lived out dialogues, essentially beta testing of what we might do. We created sketch pads and we had coffee talks of what might happen. But those things are simply vision without form. It's the kind of discussion you have when you're a young man or young woman about where your life will be in 10 or 20 years. And as you live it, you look back and you realize there were threads of it like that. But it took on a shape all of its own because of the events. It's the conversation that you have with your lover of what your life will be when you are married. And you realize that the threads, the core, were there still. But the events were things you could not possibly have planned. It was a time filled with vision, constrained at times by reality, and ultimately shaped by you and me, the people who would follow a calling to be a part of Terra Nova. There were some really large marks of God early on in the Terra story, to be very honest with you. This church, at one point, we had talked about planning, it was going to happen in Albany. And it was only through an encounter, because we had a connection at the Art Center, and we wanted to do some informational meetings where we could talk to people about what this church would be before we said, will you come here? And it was on that visit to the Art Center that we realized Troy was where God was calling us to. It was a rather chance opportunity to get into Revolution Hall at a time when the oversight of Revolution Hall had fallen apart and they weren't booking anything. And so they were very happy to have any money coming in and to take a church in on Sundays. I'm not sure that would have happened had it been 6 months earlier or 6 months later. There was a journalist, freelance journalist, who was walking to see his wife at work at a restaurant on this block when he saw signs in the window at 409, and later told me he was very excited because he thought he was going to have a great story about a cult in the Capital District. And he expressed great disappointment when he found out we were simply Christians. And then later came around to a point as a non-church-going person who said, you know, this is actually better than the cult story because this is something real and lasting for our community. And probably around 30% of the people that I've talked to about how did you come to Terra would say that article that we had nothing to do with. Three big pieces on that map that we had nothing to do with. Never mistake who's laid out the pieces. There are parts that we've been able to share and experience that are memory markers of, you know, key services of the first Good Friday when I watched men and women walk out of this room like they had come from a funeral. And we stood there and thought, we've really expressed what we wanted to be able to say as graphic artists had created the Stations of the Cross in digital form. I personally remember that first Easter when those big metal doors opened and the band exploded into their song and ultimately led into U2's It's a Beautiful Day for a chorus and thought, this is memorable. This feels like what we would do if we did Easter. And then I realized, oh, that's what we're doing. It's now in real time. It's no longer a plan. Sometimes I have trouble with the space-time continuum up here. It doesn't always connect as well as it should. We've seen about 10% of this congregation baptized here in Revolution Hall. We've seen marriages, infant dedications, and a community that became alive. We've watched leaders be surfaced, and once what was sketches and conversations with a mix of courage and faith became real. There are pieces that are too great to list as we've grown. To create a list would be difficult. We sort of left it as a collage. Undoubtedly, you'll find the pieces that connected to you. In teaching together and growing in the Word, we walked through the book of Acts and learned what it was that the church followed where Christ went. We learned what shapes men and women of godliness as we looked at Paul's first letter to his protege, Timothy. We dug into the ancient artifacts of our deep theology out of the Apostles' Creed. We experienced together what it was to worship as contemplatives as we practiced Lectio Divina, an ancient and monastic study method through the Psalms. We learned the Hebrew Scriptures as the minor prophets were taught. The book of Ephesians showed us what the church is called to be and how it is called to live. We mapped through key Old Testament biographies and the heroes of the Hebrew faith. And we drove into the darkest depths of the soul from the seven deadly sins, only to find Christ waiting on the other side for us. We've worshiped vitally together, Advent, Easter, Good Friday, and Sundays in between. We've extended the touch and reach of this church through service and the arts. People have gathered to read books over beer at the tap room. People have gathered in homes to discuss what they've learned. Men have gathered together at the frightful hour of 6:30 a.m. to discuss life in community with brothers. Women have gathered at much more sensible p.m. hours to gather to discuss life as sisters. From Terra Nova kids to camping trips in the Adirondacks, we've shared the life of Christ together in the last 2 years. As I read and present only a partial list, one statement is clear out of that. From the time of Beta Vision to version 1.0, Terra Nova Church has grown. Some of you will not remember this, but when Terra Nova was first meeting in Revolution Hall, Phil reminded me that we would set up 4 rows of chairs. That's it. We'd set up 4. We'd make sure we put really big space in between to make it look like a really full 4 rows. They were uber-sized rows. And we would just add chairs as people came in. Look around this room for a minute and imagine that the 30 to 40 college students who were away for the summer were back in this room. Anticipate that if we continue to grow the way we have in the summers, there'll probably be another 10%, 25 people or so, who will be added to Terra Nova. Terra Nova is clearly growing just in terms of people and space. We've moved from 4 rows to having to go upstairs, from upstairs to having to put risers upstairs to have sort of a second mini upstairs. The numbers for those who like those, 2006, 93 people in January, 155 in 2007, and just this past January, 244 people. We've grown in the number of children that we have and serve at Terra Nova. It's not a surprise given the demographic of this church. There are a lot of young families who call Terra home. And that's meant a shift from just a one-room nursery, maybe a divider in there, to having basically every square foot of T409 that's usable used on Sunday for children. There's just simply no more space there to be used at all. There's been other growth that not everyone gets to hear and see. There's been growth of people. Paul writes to Timothy, and the guy who presided over my ordination spoke on this and said, enjoy the first fruits of your labor. It's the image of the apple orchard farmer who takes the first ripe apple and takes a bite before he's selling bushels to everybody else. And there are moments as a pastor at Terra Nova where I get to see and the other pastors get to hear what has gone on. Those emails that I receive when people are telling me how their life has changed, how they're fighting against fear in their life or anger, or dealing with a sin, or marriages are healed. We often pass those around to each other because in the rather hard and dark weeks, to be very honest, that's what reminds us, this is what we're doing together. We're actually trying to seek and follow God so that we can become men and women who are more like His Son, Jesus Christ. And those moments of growth, more than numbers and expansion, or what really keeps me, I guess, motivated, alive, and experiencing that. For many people, it has been more subtle, but just as profound, where they will say to me, thank you, we're experiencing God on an intimate and real level that we thought of as not existing anymore. We sort of numbed ourselves into where we were, and we're very grateful for that. There are people who've never been to church before, and this one always blows me away, that this is their first church experience. When they're defining the term, a bunch of people in a nightclub baptizing people in a toxic waste spillover bin is what they think following Jesus is. We had two students from Hong Kong who were engineering students at RPI, and they were Buddhists who'd never been to church before, and I love that we sent them back to China thinking, I'll tell these people about American Christianity. Very rock and roll. I mean, I just thought it was going to be great. For some of us, though, growth is a frightening term. I think it can quietly exist in all of us, to be very honest. And what frightens us is the potential of loss in the midst of the gain. Or to put it another way, that things will change. Some people might fear that intimacy will be lost, and what we once loved will be lost if we continue to grow. That has happened from the very beginning at Terra Nova. But before we met here, there was one new tribe. That was what Terra Nova was. One small group of people who were getting together, and we knew that we were going to be assigned the task of being leaders of small groups when that broke up. And we got to the point where we were at the Keparuta's house, and it was the last night, and we knew it was the last night that we were going to have a community that was in depth for us for months. And sure enough, as I expected, someone voiced and someone else concurred that this was almost a shame, that we were going to lose the intimacy of this group and keeping this where it was in exchange for what? Well, it was in exchange for this. And what I said to those people was basically what I will say throughout as we begin to face some of the anxieties over change. We have to move forward. We cannot find a comfortable space and in a real theological sense say, to hell with everybody else. We have what we have. We like what we have. We have to overcome the fear that we will lose in growing. We've managed to grow from where we were to now and still be Terra Nova. I would anticipate that we will continue to grow in that way. There's a commitment to change and growth. But I can promise you, from me and from the other pastors at Terra, there is an equal commitment that we will grow as Terra Nova. The pieces that we uphold as our ideals and our core, we will continue to reflect on. To have Christ at the center of all that we do. To be people who are incarnational, who are living out of our time, eternal truth. We're not going through time warps or changes or rituals just to become Christian. We're just trying to live this out normally. And that we will be both missional and monastic. We will gather together to be growing as the church together, and we will extend out with equal purpose and not live in some bifurcated spiritual and real world. Terra has grown, and it's been good. I don't think anyone would say the growth we've had has been shocking or scandalous. It hasn't been bad and moved us aside. We've grown in terms of worship arts. When I think of my friend Scott Womer, I first and always think of him not as a musician, but as a Christian guy who had a very good impact on my life. It's just the kind of guy he is. Scott is a person who I think most deeply values building into other people. He pastors the artists at Terra Nova. He builds into the lives of these people who are musicians to be able to help them do better and in more places what they do well. And as a man, he builds in through a discipleship relationship with other men at the church. I've seen that consistently. I think it's the default nature of his service in Christ. In preparing for this, we found like old artifacts of Terra Nova, old pieces of paper. I had a couple like with coffee stains. Phil actually had a file, and I wish I just asked him. I should have thought of this. He had the file of old Terra Nova things, and it was great. And we found the first cue sheet for the information meeting, and we looked through at all these names on there, and many of these people were not here anymore at Terra Nova. They were friends who jumped in for a little while, or they thought it was a neat thing for a short time, and they just kind of drifted away to other callings or just sort of marginalized themselves more and more. And what I realized is it took a pastor to be able to continue to grow from a place where there were people who are sort of serving and not really part of Terra, to being in a place where it wasn't just piecing together things, but think with me what's going on at Terra Nova in terms of the worship arts. We've watched graphic arts develop from a friend outside of Terra who was emailing graphics from Albuquerque, New Mexico, which was fun to say, but really not too valuable as a community of people, to now having multiple graphic artists who have served and given and who are understanding more and more what it is to use their art monastically to enhance the proclamation of truth. We've watched musicians who've been encouraged to understand who they are so that they can find a sense of their own artistry in their worship. For those who aren't musicians, you have to realize a lot of churches will say, here's our musical branding. We're whatever. We're country. We're top 40. And you need to come in and fill that spot no matter who you are. It's essentially taking an artist and making them a house painter. Instead of telling them, here's a canvas, we tell them, I want this wall orange, here's a brush. Terra has worked very hard to develop singer-songwriters and artists. One of the earliest forms of surfacing and preparing those artists was called Artist Loft. Essentially, it was a chance to gather artists of different disciplines at T409 to teach the basis of what it meant to be an artist in the church, speaking to the church and speaking from the church in dialogue around us. And it had a great impact. I mean, we saw people gathering in bands and playing out in coffee houses. We saw people who would leave from that initial basis of the Artist Loft to go get further training with other artists in the area at the Art Center of the Capital District. We saw what were ideas become real. Whether it was film, graphics, music, all of that has grown. There have been key powerful moments, Easter and Good Friday. I think one of the quiet, powerful moments was getting the CD we got. Not because we had the CD, but because when you looked through those, it was different artists at Terra Nova expressing themselves as singer-songwriters in the voice and with the vision God gave them. Very diverse groups of people. In the future, there'll be a continued expansion on this. This year, we were able to give Roman Jaquez a humble stipend to be able to have him be filmmaker in residence at Terra Nova. Those films that you and I have watched and enjoyed throughout the Seven Deadly Sins series and in other places are put together by his work. His office is out of our space at 409, and he's worked to help communicate that. Scott has also communicated to the band members and musicians that part of his vision is ready to be fulfilled in the years ahead, and that's that there will be bands who represent their unique style, influenced by what each member brings to the group. These bands will kind of in a microcosmic way, live out the principle of playing the cards you're dealt. We talk about that a lot at Terra. Poker and strategy is what helped create this church. These bands will then have their own name and begin to have their own identity. They will worship together, they will work together, and they will surface different leaders. At this point, we will be moving into a time where Scott Womer, Patty Womer, and Rob Kaparudis will be serving as band leaders of the future worship bands at Terra Nova. The arts have happened beyond the monastery at Terra Nova. It's moving out into the mission field. It's really at a transition point of the gallery. Scott's done a great job in preparing the artists, giving them a place to be in community at the gallery. And frankly, there's creativity coming to that gallery space that is growing and pushing into new ground. We just launched an experimental program that Scott put together called Soundstage 409. He brought in local musicians, and we packed the back room out. Just last night, it's funny how God does this, I was sitting at Jose Malone's having a very healthy Mexican-Irish meal and a local lime beverage that was very tasty. And the owner came over and said, can I talk to you about the space that we have between our offices at 409 and his restaurant? Is a space he owns that has had a couple of gallery shows. He asked us, through me as the pastor of a church, would you take this space and run it and bring people in here and have gallery space? Phil, you'll be very happy to know I said to him, understand plainly we have no budget for this. There'll be no money, but we would be happy to figure out how we can help in that. These are those kind of opportunities. We're moving forward, but God is shaping it in ways that we didn't expect. I didn't expect a restaurateur to come to the church and say, help us run a gallery in Troy. But those are the kind of opportunities we have because of what's gone on in the past. And that gallery is really like a pivotal joint between two worlds, between arts and community extension. They seem to merge those two places there. One of the early and lasting phrases of Terra Nova in describing what it was to be incarnational was to have a seat at the table of culture. Just not to have to own it, like the church once had to in America, where you were put away from the table of culture, you were putting stocks away from the table of culture if you didn't agree. Not yelling at the table of culture from outside and throwing legal and verbal hand grenades at them as often as you can, but actually being able to sit and represent Christ at that table. I think that's one of the goals of normal missional Christians. If your goal is to overthrow the table, if your goal is to poke fun at the people at the table, you're probably not living a normative missional incarnational life. We want to be able to do that. And there is a person who has lived that metaphor from before I really knew him. Matthew Miller, who was recognized as an elder at Terra this past year, is the guy who has really had a heart for bringing culture and Christ together in one spot, that creates spaces where people can have that dialogue and interact. He was the one responsible for bringing David Crowder to a church in Waterville Eat and having that experience happen when that concert came to this area. It's what drives the guy. He really likes living in both those worlds. I think Miller would go nuts if he had to just be a church guy, and I think he would be completely dissatisfied if he had to just be the guy who was hanging out with people who weren't allowing him to speak of Christ. His oversight and work with the gallery team has brought a real good balance to Terra being missional monastic. If you just look at it in terms of people, any Sunday here there are about 244 folks in this place. Averaging at the gallery, about 250 people. Only about 10% of those actually cross over. So we've created the spaces that are having balanced flows of the monastery and the mission through that gallery. Community extension exists to really do three things for us as a community that we have to get involved in doing. One is to bring justice, to recognize the wrongs that are going on and be able to be the people who stand and say, this is wrong. We need to represent right. The causes that we've chosen most to focus on at this point has been the cause of human trafficking. We worked with one group. Our future goal is to work not just with a group, but based on the cause of helping to stop human trafficking and being able to those who represent God's justice and truth and say, this needs to stop. When we were talking about Abolition Week, which was a great event when Derek Webb came up and did a concert here and we were able to raise about $5,000 for Love 146, Miller and I would go and pitch to these local businessmen and restaurants and say, will you be a supporter of this? And the kind of metaphor I used to help them get a handle on it was to say, imagine the globe localized. I live in apartment 9A, I'm the church guy. You live in apartment 9B, you're the business guy. In 9C, there's a guy who assaults 9-year-olds for $50. I knock on your door and say, will you come with me to stop this guy? Which guy are you? Every one of them said yes. It was just a terrific motivational tool. When you give a man perspective on right and wrong, and they actually appreciate it. So it stands for justice. It stands for compassion. The other guy and gal out there needs help, just like we do. Every other person needs something. In the cause of compassion, we were able to connect with Joseph's House, which is the Rensselaer County's only homeless shelter. It has had no official church connection. I think it's fair to say they were cautious when we first entered in dialogue, and I think it's fair to say we are openly sharing the burden of Joseph's House with them now. Matthew, what, 30, 40 people from Terra Nova serve at Joseph's House within 1 year from just saying we want to open the door to compassion. It's opened areas that we didn't expect, like the Lansing Hotel, which is a place where adults who will live in sort of a crossover world of functioning but never really be able to live outside of that community. We have a couple who's adopted that place and is serving them, you know, just making life a lot more beautiful for these people. Compassion says the other person needs help, and we're the people who reflect that God is part of that. Abolition Week has moved from an event that was born out of Terra Nova to an event that is pulling together multiple businesses, media representatives, and churches, and will have really a week-long event coming up in September. There's been a network created that Matthew heads called the 518 Network that is helping to pull together those different domains to fight for that cause of the abolition of slavery in our time. We will continue to grow the gallery, I believe, in the years ahead, finding new ways to present the arts in this space and other spaces that we've been invited to use. Abolition Week will continue to grow. Our connections with other churches will continue to grow. And we need people to be a part of this. Understand, when I'm saying more than 40 people help, that means Matthew's not the guy doing all these things and we throw Matthew a paycheck, which we're not at this point, and we'd like to in the next 2 years. We need people to care and step up and invest in the issues of justice and compassion. And the third place of culture, where we've been able to create a venue that is run by an entire team to make that gallery happen. If that expands, there'll be more people needed for that as well. And I would be remiss if I didn't recognize a lot of individuals at Terra Nova. I won't try to name names because I'll get it wrong and disappoint people. But a lot of you live out the missional culture without having to have a tag on it. People have gone to Brazil, to Mexico, to Africa, to the Ukraine, to serve. I mean, it's great that we live in a time where we can see globally and meet some needs globally. But we have to always remember that our space in this place always needs justice, mercy, and cultural redemption. Internal ministries is the third area that we can look at. And a lot of the growth I mentioned earlier would really fall under this area. All the things that we talked about in growth of numbers. That means a lot of setup. When this place happens, it starts at about 7 a.m. that what's experienced here at 11 begins to be set up. You can imagine that after a show like Trashin', which was last night, there is cleanup work to be done. When Soul Asylum uses your green room, there's vegetation that needs to be cleaned out of the green room before we set up. There is a lot of work that goes into this. There are people who are setting up the entire atmosphere and feel that allows us to have a heightened experience of what's going on. The art of interior decoration is valued at Terra. All the things that go into this. Phil Taylor is over all those internal ministries, making sure that they develop properly and are managed rightly. It's critical to what goes on. The expansive growth at Terra has only continued because there's been someone who has been able to work with all the other leaders and managers here to allow that field to actually grow. If you look at New Tribes, which is probably, we would agree, our number one tool for doing community and growing together, we went from one new tribe when we began 2 years ago to a dozen and expect very quickly to push towards 20 in the next year. That's going to mean new tribe leaders who are going to have to be identified and trained and help. Part of that need is being met in a very unique way of Terra networking with other churches. We have recently made it official, and with Presbyterians it's important that things be official, that Tom Corey will be a pastor. The official term is out of bounds, which I thought was kind of funny. Serving at Terra makes him out of bounds at Terra Nova. Tom is a Presbyterian pastor who has served in pastoral ministry for decades and is working towards a doctoral degree in spiritual development and will be assisting with the spiritual growth of new tribes, new tribe leaders, and ultimately launching an individual spiritual development plan that will bring prayer, guidance, and support to individuals at this church. Our new tribes are so critical, and I'm pleased to say that 80% of the people here, that's family-based, are connected with new tribes. For people numbers, that means we've gone from 15 people involved in new tribes to 200 people touched by new tribes. One of the big internal ministry projects that's coming up is a complete web overhaul and redesign that will be rolled out in October. Our kids program, I mentioned every square foot is being used. It's a lot of work that I completely avoid. I'm not the kids program called guy, but I see a lot of work. And that you see those kind of like twitchy people with crayons and glue on their fingers, and I just kind of stay away from them. There's a lot of practical logistics that need to go on when that's happening. Linda Womer has done just an amazing job of having a heart for our children at Terra Nova and being able to help develop people. I wonder where Scott gets that from, probably from both parents, actually, as I think about it, to be able to serve Terra Nova kids. As we grow, this is a critical piece. There needs to be people who are stepping up into all these spots. We have interns, and we've sent one off to seminary. One's at seminary and will probably continue. We have people who are in dialogue with us about being elders at Terra. But we need people on every level of those ministries. If you're not involved at Terra, I need to tell you, you need to be. This is a community, and no one wants the locust in the community who just eats and devours and does nothing to add. We're happy to serve, but we need people who are carrying both sides of this thing. We can't just be people who are consuming. The reality is a very large number of us are involved in ministries, and we don't ever, here's the warning, we don't ever want to get so involved with ministries at Terra that we just cannibalize ourselves, that we just need to grow so that we can stock more ministries. We want the balance of being monastic here and missional out there to continue. We are outgrowing our space. The attendance of this room, the max attendance, clearly would be maxed out if we had all of our college students and after summer growth. We've maxed out our children's space. We're continuing to push into new areas of new tribe. And we need to grow. And so here's what I can tell you. With reliance on God, a humility, and by that I mean an honest assessment of what our strengths and weaknesses are. That's my definition of humility. And a concern for our area, we will push forward and grow. Terra will begin to expand and extend the work we have begun. It's part of the mission of God. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is what Christ said after his resurrection to his disciples. Led by the very same disciple who before the crucifixion said, it would be terrible if you went and got crucified because we wouldn't be with each other anymore. Jesus is pro-growth. Christianity is a global movement. It happens localized, but it also ties together globally. The call of the church, the mission of God, is to be able to expand the glory of God, the presence of his kingdom, through bringing people truth by which they can live. Purity that allows them to have a new life, a new perspective, and love that they can extend to other people. I believe that that desire for God to bring communities of people who are redefining life together by truth, purity, and love is the essence of what the church is. And the mission of the church is to become more fully aware of how to recreate, expand, and multiply, to bring truth from beyond to the place where it hasn't been. In his mystifying wisdom, God has called complex sinner saints like us to represent his holiness. Because if we live rightly, we are the people who know what it is to suffer. If we live rightly, we're not being self-righteous about the truth that he's shown us. If we live rightly, we should be the most grateful people who are serving out of a P.S. thank you and not out of I have to prove myself in some way. This means that the church must continue to grow and extend together. The area of ministry outside of Sunday teaching and leadership development that is most critically in my world is church multiplication and extension. It really is the heartbeat of the ministries I've worked with for the last 12 years of my life. At Terra Nova, you may not know because it's probably so not exciting to a lot of you. I hope when you see it as the mission of God, it gets more exciting that we're involved in church planting. But we've always been quietly involved in church planting. We hosted a boot camp back in 2004 with a group called Acts 29. And that group, through the generous gifts of Mars Hill Church in Seattle, became a major supporter financially of Terra Nova. And one of the reasons they became that is because they knew that the vision for Terra was not just planting a church, but a multiplication center for the Northeast, helping to connect and build churches throughout the area. Groups like Kensington Community Church and Vision, they're now part of Vision 360, supported us as well. Now, normally, church planting support goes on for 3 years. This is 2.5 years into Terra. So that means a significant line in our budget that has brought us income that has helped support our ministry will fade away, and we're called to take up that slack. Now, I commend you. This church gives well above the national average per person. But probably there are people in the congregation giving significantly above and some giving significantly lower than they could be. The beautiful thing about Christianity, it's made for math idiots like me. The bare minimum is to give 10%, to slide one decimal over. I'm telling you, if it's like 7.3%, I might be another faith. Because I'd be sitting there trying to figure out what's going on all the time. Or I'd be a reformer and go, it's got to be 10. I can't deal with this. You need to be giving consistently and regularly, cheerfully, and out of a sense of humility. Just take what you have and be able to say, here's what God's given me. I'm going to consistently put that 10% in. If you have the chances to give more graciously, do it. I can't tell you how happy I am that you guys give above average, because if there's something I would despise, it would be the big red thermometer and me with the marker every Sunday. Oh my gosh. That is a dark and depressing thought for Ed Marcel. We will continue to grow as a church planting movement. Right now, in the year ahead, in September, we're going to launch an externship program where currently four pastors who are seated in churches full-time throughout the area want to learn from what we're doing at Terra. Some of those guys will be church planters. Some are just trying to understand how to adjust their church to what's going on. They'll come in a day a month and spend time with your pastors, and they'll come once a month or once a quarter to church here at Terra and see what's going on. In the years ahead, we will continue to work in these areas. Currently in dialogue with one denomination who would like Terra to become critical for training their pastors to plant churches in the Northeast. I think it's an important thing for us to be a part of. We're working with churches in this area and in the Northeast to extend. So what does church extension mean for us at Terra? Well, it means a second service. We've built these systems. You guys have understood how this works. I think with guidance here, we have figured out how to turn a nightclub into a church and back to a nightclub pretty quickly and well and easily. At 10 and at 12, starting in September, there will be two services, 10 and 12. And that will allow us to be able to grow just by having this same space and not having to take any extension beyond that. There'll be an additional cost on that for us financially as a community. It's going to be about another $100 per week and about a $4,500 one-time startup cost to be able to recreate signs and print material, etc. One of the things we would like to be able to do, and this is where your generosity becomes real, we have someone who has served very quietly at Terra Nova for years now and has never asked a thing and has been incredibly faithful, and that's John Chiara, who runs sound for us, is back there in the dark, unlighted sound cave, dwelling like a troll, and does all of these things for us without complaint, very faithfully, very consistently. If John isn't there, no one has to ask that he gets a replacement. He does it. I would like to challenge you to help give some money so that we can give John a stipend that he richly deserves for the work that he does for Terra Nova. Doing two services is going to be even more work and more time investment for John. There are a lot of things that will happen that way. There will be more investments in people and time. It means we're going to have human resources shifts. We're going to need two more people on backline crew to help with the setup and teardown so that we're not draining those people. The atmosphere crew to set this up, we're going to need another person for that. Heavy lifting of moving the risers and doing the setup on that twice, we're going to need two more people per week on heavy lifting team. Nursery and Quest, the kids programs, we're going to need four more of you to volunteer for that. Two more greeters for each service, best if we have four for that. Cleaning, we'll need another person who can help take on some of those tasks. Two more people in the financial team, you people who are out there good at business and accounting, we really need this. And one more person on PowerPoint, people who are really good at pressing an arrow, we need you. We need you for that second service. There's going to be some changes, but I think we're just talking about extending. We're talking about using the same place in the same way at two different times. That's the vision that's going to become reality for us that we'll learn from come September. There is a farther out edge of the vision, and that's second sight. We are beginning the process in 2009 of preparing the timeline and moving forward in faith to a second site in downtown Saratoga Springs. Saratoga has already been thought of and rejected, so please don't email us that. There are reasons why we believe that's the place. It's a place of need. You go downtown, a lot of churches have not planted or grown in downtown areas. We're a church who has always felt we're more downtown than suburban. We're a church whose culture seems to represent a similar tribe between here and Saratoga Springs. There's a common point of view of art, experience, style of life that makes sense. It's a little more developed, generationally a little different nuances between Troy and Saratoga, but it makes sense in terms of what people we could best extend ourselves to. It's a strategic furtherance. It's near enough where we can keep the same infrastructure of leadership that we have and have another church location in another area. That will require some serious changes in the time ahead. The biggest of these is that we will work to surface at least one other teaching pastor. No, I will not be on video screen in Saratoga Springs. Max Edroom is not the way that we're going at this point. What I want to do is actually be doing less in order to give other people the opportunity to do more. I've been in churches where they'll always say, we want to elevate other people to positions. But there are always positions where people are locked out of. Largely it's the teaching position. And they don't raise up other teaching pastors. My goal is to end up teaching the majority of times, but having times where another teaching pastor or two are carrying weight at these other places. Saratoga Springs is exciting to me. The opportunity, the freshness, the excitement of knowing it's there and that we don't know what it will look like. It's almost like the gestation period of human life. You know, and there are going to be moments where I'm going to be constantly wanting to see the sonogram, what's going on with this. And I won't always know, and you won't always know. But I know that we have people who are already asking to be a part of that. One of the key leaders that I've mentioned, Matthew Miller, actually lives in that area and will be a key point person in that. So how do you get involved? Well, I think you consistently be faithful to what we're doing. If you're from that area, begin to pray as you're about that area. If you're not, keep praying. Keep praying too. If it's something you want to get involved in, you're from kind of north of the Twin Bridges, and you're thinking that would be terrific, or you know someone who would like to, let us know. You can email saratoga@terranovachurch.org, and we'll make sure that those connections happen. A wise revolutionary rocker once said, "The future is unwritten." Joe Strummer was the lead singer, visionary writer for The Clash, and I'm indebted to a good friend for turning me on to a documentary of his life. He was a guy who pushed at edges and really believed that we could make a difference, that we could move forward. But you always have that little bit of fear that can bring hesitation when you read that the future is unwritten. We don't want to be carried by our own strength out of arrogance. And we don't want to so lack trust in ourselves that we quietly curl up in atrophy and never move forward. The balance between the self-driven and spiritual ignorance is, I think, what James talks about. In the summer, we're going to be going through the book of James. We're going to be going back to the books of the Bible and studying through the book of James. And James is really a wisdom book. It's almost like Proverbs in the New Testament. James writes this in chapter 4. "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a place and such a town and spend a year and make a profit there. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." In the next 2 years, we will see the map of terror to come develop by the grace of God. We do not want to become arrogant or boastful. We want to leave room for what God is shaping, moving forward out of the patterns that we've seen him work us in at this point, fully expecting that he will push and change that vision as time goes on. One thing has been kind of recurring in my mind in my spiritual pilgrimage of life lately. It's that I need to have more and more faith balanced in the God of the future as much as I do in the God of the past to be able to survive the day called the present. God of the past, I get. We look at the maps of where we've been. There's no more emotional instability, fear, or anything associated with those moments. They're all mapped out. And we see where God met us. We understand somewhat how he was moving in those things. And we have a sense of confidence of the God of the past that anchors us by context into today. But then we face the unknown. It's as though nothing but the past is guiding us, and that's a mistake. We need to be the people who are at the point called the present, anchored by the context of relationship of the past, so that we have a faith that extends into the future, that we can look to God. We're not looking to absences as we turn to the future. We know him by context in the past, so we trust him in that unknown, unwritten in the future. For if there's one place where Joe Strummer was not quite right, is that the future is written by someone. God is a being beyond time. It says that he in the Psalms both hems us in from behind and precedes us. And so my encouragement to you is, in this time of change, be anchored in what God has done. Be encouraged by that and have the faith to move forward. Hear yourself clearly being called to be a part of this. I want to make that real clear. We need us to be able to do what we're going to do. We've spoken a lot about these things of vision. And the band's going to come up and we're going to be praying and have communion. But I also know that there are people who have questions. If you have questions and you would like to watch us try to answer those questions, we will be gathering at Terra 409 after the service, and we'll have the pastors there, and we'll take any questions. We may not have your specific answers, but we will certainly be honest in all that we say. As we shift back to a time of worship, as we think about the God of the past, there is nothing that should anchor your faith like Calvary. When we think of Christ dying on the cross for us, God incarnate sacrificing for us, we experience love. We know that someone loved us enough to save us when we had deep needs that we could not possibly take care of ourselves. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who loved you on the cross loves you into your future and loves you now. When we think about communion, we are instructed in 1 Corinthians to celebrate this until the Lord's return and to remember that he's not just the one who loved us in sacrifice. He's the one who we serve under. He is our Lord in his resurrection, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one that you serve the moment you came to faith is the one who still calls you to his service in the future. Anchor yourself in this time in the context of the God who loves and the God who leads. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, help us to find the balance of a desire to be encouraged, to be called, to walk into new lands, as you called Abraham to step foot on land he'd never seen, as you called the children of Israel to walk out of what they had known for hundreds of years, as you called Joshua to be of courage as he led the people into a place you had planned. It's our prayer that you would call us to follow you, that you would give us hearing and wisdom as we seek to live out vision, that you would give us humility as that vision shifts and changes, that we would allow you to be the hand that's shaping the spinning pot on the wheel. We pray for the things that we are to continue, God. We don't want to lose our first love. I pray for us to be a community together. I pray for us to be men and women seeking to be motivated more, to press in more to your truth, to be men and women of purer and purer hearts, recognizing our sinfulness and rejecting that of ourselves to live in subjection to Christ, and to be men and women who step out in love to others around us, Lord, and confound a world that says just get for yourself as we seek genuinely to love others in the name of Christ. Help us to see him, Lord, in those things. And as we center around your table today, we pray that as we meet you freshly in the cross and in your resurrection, that you would help us more freshly to press into that, to live with the God of the past and to be brought forward by the God of the future. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.